dies. It cuts so deep in the silence. Memories creep. Gigi Luigi sings the pain, a bittersweet tune like falling rain. When love dies, it hurts the most. A fleeting flame, now just a ghost. Yet through the tears, we learn to thrive. In the shadows, we find our drive. When love dies, it hurts the most. A fleeting flame, now just a ghost. Yet through the tears, we learn to thrive. In the shadows, we find our drive. Each whispered word, a fading light. The dreams we built, now out of sight. Gigi's voice, a haunting song. Reminds us where we all belong. When love dies, it hurts the most. But from the ashes, we'll raise a toast to the love that leads so we can grow. Let me take you higher, let the healing flow.
Hi, and welcome to the Let Me Take You Higher podcast. My name is Mr. Villain, and we have our co-host here. His name is Gigi Luigi, and our topic today is open relationships, Gigi's heartbreak, and humor regarding the situation, guys. I just want to let you know that I'm from a bygone era where you took the time to formulate a relationship with someone, and it spread further than the internet, casual dating, and all these different things. But tonight, we're going to focus on our co-host Gigi, who went through a transformative relationship of 7 years. I mean, guys, that's a long freaking time. But Gigi's nice enough and kind enough to share with us his experience in what we're calling a polyamoric relationship. So basically, we're focusing on Gigi's transformative experience in his 7-year partnership with his spouse. When his partner proposed an open polyamorous relationship or arrangement, it led to a pivotal moment that reshaped Gigi's views on love and commitment. With a mix of humor and heartbreak and some heartfelt commentary, we explore the dynamics of relationships in the modern world and in the modern dynamic. We implore you to come and listen with us as we explore Gigi's heartbreak. And we're not doing this as an exploitative thing. Gigi volunteered 100% to let us know where his mind, heart, and soul is after this experience. But I am Mr. Villain. And this is Let Me Take You Higher. And what we always try to do is give you some inroads and some outroads, avenues and boulevards, to get you to a higher plane of thought and light. So, you know, take a seat, buckle up, we're going to take you higher into this polyamory martyr edition. Thanks again, I'm Mr. Villain for Gigi Luigi. Let's tune in. Welcome back to Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Today, we're diving into a topic that's as complex as a Rubik's Cube. Open relationships, especially polyamory relationships. Gigi, paint us a picture of your last relationship before it turned into a dramatic season finale.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it, season finale. Well, we were together for a total of about 6 years. 7 years, actually. 7 years. And for about 5 of those years, we were pretty much monogamous. You know, the occasional three-way here and there. Fun, whatever. Yeah. But, you know, she started to want to do things with, you know, solo with other people and start to technically kind of date other people. And from there, just went south fast.
Yeah, solo's a no-go in my book. I mean, if you're going to go out and do other stuff, why are we together? But
yeah.
So take me back. Rewind this tape. Let me know, how did you guys first meet? How did the whole love affair begin?
So, funny enough, we met and she had a boyfriend at the time. Yeah.
Oh, wow. You didn't read the writing on the wall?
Well, I should have. You're right. I should have.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Nothing wrong with that. So you guys met at first. She had a boyfriend and you came along as Prince Charming and kind of stole her, kind of wrestled her away from the boyfriend.
Well, no. So we met in a bar just from, through some mutuals. Like my friends invited me out and, you know, she was hanging out with them. Her boyfriend was, you know, not to be a dick, but he was kind of like a loser. I don't know if he's still on that same path as he was. He was heavy into drugs, didn't really have any career going for him, anything crazy like that. So she met me and, you know, an ambitious young lad, I guess you could say. Okay. Yeah. And we kind of just hit it off. We became like best friends, you know.
Yeah.
Everything was totally appropriate. We didn't do anything until like she was like pretty much leaving her boyfriend
at that point.
And then when she left her boyfriend, we pretty much were together the next day.
Oh, wow.
Right around the time that we met.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, so in the dating process, now was she on any kind of narcotics, any kind of explicits? Aside from, you know, your normal cannabis or whatever, but did she have any problems?
No, I wouldn't say she had any problems. Okay. She didn't have any like drug problems. Not like, some people that I know. She's definitely down to experiment with this and that, but nothing too dangerous.
Okay. All right. And so you met her at this bar and then fast forward you guys. And how long were you guys like commingling, friendship? How long did that part of it last?
Oh, geez. Probably a good 7 to 8 months.
Okay.
We were we gave it a good little run there. We, you know, again, mostly just friends.
Mostly just friends.
Yeah. Okay, we both liked each other though.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, you guys are, you know, friends. That's kind of how it should start out, but sometimes it doesn't. So kind of walk us through the ins and outs of this entanglement, this situationship.
Well, she's bisexual. So after years and years of us being together, I was like, you know what? That's an aspect of your life that I can never fulfill. You being with a woman, she was always curious about, you know, experimenting with women. So it definitely was like, you know, if you want to have a girlfriend outside of this relationship, I can understand that. And I even communicated, I said, you know, I can rationalize like you wanting to spend time with a woman over me. Can't rationalize a guy because whatever you should be looking for in him, you should be finding in me. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like at that point, there's no way I can conceptualize you hanging out with another dude where it doesn't feel like you just blatantly picked him over me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not to cause any issues, but you wanted to kind of like, you know, put safety nets around the relationship. I can understand that.
Well, yeah. Again, like I loved her and, you know, I wanted her to be able to like live her life. You only get to live once.
That's true.
So
the first and only life we're going to get. So, yeah.
Exactly. So like, you know, she's young. She was with her ex for years and years and years. I was the second person she's ever been with. So I felt like I was, you know, helping her, being, you know, being a supportive boyfriend, but I opened the doors to something that shouldn't have been
opened. Pandora's box. So now in this relationship, you knew she was a bisexual through your friendship part of it, right?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Okay. And is it something that you wanted to open up for yourself? Like, do you think that you put this in her kind of realm because it's something that you also wanted to explore with other women joining into the relationship?
I mean, at first, I guess I could see that, but very quickly after, you know, having like a three-way or two, I just kind of realized that even when I was with like another woman, I just like wanted to be with her.
Okay.
Yeah, to whoever. And I just couldn't really get into the idea. Like, I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to say. Because I guess there were some selfish intentions there. I can definitely see that. But then again, after experiencing it for like in its entirety, I realized that it really isn't anything it's cracked up to be. So I would
maybe a couple times, like you said, for memory's sake, but those things usually don't work out too well. Not normally.
Yeah. Exactly. And it pretty much, it lost its charm. And then like, once that happened, it was like, why are we doing this?
Like, yeah. But see, I mean, I feel like sometimes in relationships, we invite the terror. And then when the terror becomes too extreme, we kind of back out. We're like, okay, I didn't want all that. But then you've already opened that door, like that Pandora's box we said. And now it's on like Donkey Kong. You've opened it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I think. I'm not saying your relationship in particular, but I think in relationships in general, I've been there, I've done that. So I definitely understand it. But walk me through. So you guys, 7 or 8 months, you guys are like coalescing friendships and stuff. And then the day before she breaks up with her boyfriend or during that time frame, you guys are official, right?
Pretty much. She came to my house the next day and we were pretty much inseparable from there. Hung out everywhere, wherever, at that time she had to move into her grandparents' house. So I helped her move into there, while I was helping her out with that, I would sleep there. And, if she was at my grandparents' house, cause I was living with her, taking care of my grandparents at the time, then she would sleep there. So we were pretty much inseparable from day one.
Okay. So when did you start to notice things that made you question?
So she wanted to get into OnlyFans, and at first I was like, okay, like definitely against it. Kind of like opened my mind and became okay with it. But then as that progressed, I started to realize that like every boundary that I'm setting, it was like she would push me past my boundary and then wait a little bit and then push past the next boundary and then wait a second. And then I felt like I was constantly being like walked into a situation that I wasn't happy with, and I set boundaries and I felt like they weren't being respected.
Well, yeah, she's a boundary breaker, but then she was trying to kind of I won't say sucker you in, but she wanted you to be what she believed, I guess, would be her ideal playmate or boyfriend or whatever we're talking, you know what I'm saying? That's what I see. But with that being said, what was the breaking point for you with during all this, the situation with her?
Well, it would probably be, It was my birthday. She threw a joint birthday party for me and the guy she was trying to open our relationship with. And at that party, I barely saw her at all. She barely interacted with me, barely, like, she was talking to two other guys. So, yeah, I just started to realize, like, you know what? Like, clearly I'm not a priority in your life, that you are your only priority in your life. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I want to spend my life with someone like that. So, from that point, I just was like, screw this, and started talking to this one girl who I was kind of interested in. I didn't really, it was more fun than it was anything else. And she accused me of cheating on her. And to be completely funny, it's really funny because we didn't do anything. Like, we kissed. I'll be upfront and honest about it. We kissed, but that was it. But I was accused of doing everything else, and that's what she said broke the was the straw that broke the camel's back on her case. So a little hypocritical there.
Well, yeah, and you're saying that she disrespected the covenant first. Now, do you know if she was having any relations with these dudes already, or what was this? How'd you find out?
She just told me. She was like, "Hey, so and so wanted me to be his girlfriend today, so that's happening." Is essentially the conversation.
Wow.
It was like, I'm not cool with that. And she pretty much was like, we'll suck it up.
And this is something that there was never a red flag that she was like transforming into this. I won't say anything horrible, but transforming into this new being, this new person with a whole new attitude about life. Nothing that glared at you?
Well, I'm sure hindsight's 20/20. I love the person. I was trying to like make exceptions and excuses in areas that where I shouldn't have been making those exceptions and excuses, but it is what it is. Yes, definitely red flags, like the OnlyFans. She was always saying things like she expressed herself sexually, but she identified as polyamorous, which I don't really feel like that's a personality trait or anything else. I just think that's like a preference, but at one point you got to grow up and realize that the people that you're spending your time with and building relationships with, they're the ones that are going to stand the test of time. Like when you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, people live longer every year. You're going to want that person, that rock that you've held, you know, held it down with throughout your whole life.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't feel like, I mean, personally, this is my personal belief. I don't feel like polyamorous relationships are anything structured. I don't think they last. But I mean, whatever, they can do whatever they want to do, and I'll find someone to build an actual life with. So,
right. And you're right. And you're, I mean, you're doing the right thing about that, because I mean, I have a best friend. He's in a polyamorous relationship. He's been in it for like five or six years. And it does work for them, but it's not for everybody. And it just seems like it's just cheating. I mean, I don't know why we're calling it something aside from cheating, because that's kind of what it is. And now when you were dating in the relationship, do you feel like she was trying to do something that was kind of like obscene or over the top aside from the polyamorous thing? Because I think there's a little bit more that she's thinking that you're not thinking in that situation.
I'm not entirely sure I understand the question.
I'm not sure I said it right, but I guess what I'm getting at is, she came to you and she said, look, I want to do this with other dudes or whatever the case, or bring other dudes into our relationship. And you were steadfast, 100% no. Were there ever times where you guys did this together where it went someplace, or she tried to coax you into something?
Again, I don't understand the question. I mean, like, she was always trying to, like, you know, have, like, not always, but like when things started, she was always trying to like push to have a relationship with this person, and she didn't give a flying fuck how I felt about it. Everything was like very riddled in narcissism. Like, right. She's very much like, you know, I have one life and I'm going to live it. I get it. At the same time, though, when you live your life in your early years and you get to the later years and you realize that, the relationships I built along the way aren't really sustaining the test of time, well, now you're just alone and now you're just sad. And that's not what I want for my life. So,
right.
And she was trying to, like, one of the people involved I had a conversation with, and she said that she was polyamorous. She said that all of her relationships are on par, even on par with her husband, who was the father of her child. And I'm just like, how could you look at anyone else on the same level as that person?
Man, relationships are taking a dive. Like, they've come down to, I'd say, like, the wire. Like, stuff is just, and you're not the only case I've heard of. There's been so many. But I guess I would ask you, did you ever go along with it? Like, I mean, to appease her, did you ever go along with the situation at any time?
Well, yeah, I mean, we've had our fun or experiments and whatever. But I mean, like, she, I guess, technically was dating that guy while she was dating me, and I was just trying to get used to it, but there was just nothing, there's no way.
Right.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Now, did you know the guy that she brought into the relationship at all?
Yeah, he was a good friend of mine. Turns out he's a piece of shit, to be completely honest with you, and, you know, just to spare me shit talking, let me just say that he's done some very, very bad things to people. But okay. That's all I'm going to say about it.
Right, right. Okay. Understandable. We don't want to get you into a court situation.
Yeah.
But So you guys were actually friends, like close friends.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Why I know that he did the things he did. So.
Okay.
when that came to light, though, like, we weren't, I was having a hard time being his friend. And then things started to develop between him and my ex.
Oh, okay. So this is a guy who came over all the time. So you had no red flags with the guy coming over all the time to be with you and your lover at the time, or how'd that work out?
No, I knew he was a piece of shit to some degree. But I guess, you know, I just looked the other way. But you shouldn't do that, because, again, people show you who they are if you let them.
Yeah, if you're paying attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a famous Maya Angelou quote. If you're paying attention, people always will show you who they are.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And with this situation with your ex-girlfriend, And she, what ended up happening with that situation with her at the end? What made you leave, or what dissolved the relationship?
It was the fact that she thought that I was cheating on her, ironically.
Okay.
Like, that was the basis for, she broke up with me, and it was because she felt that I cheated on her. And I was like, you are very, very hypocritical. I'll just leave it at that.
Right.
It's like,
that's beyond hypocritical. That's a whole nother issue.
It's a whole nother, like, you might want to, like, that's like mental ward worthy.
Yeah.
You might want to check yourself in.
That's a pure narcissist right there. 100%.
And that's what it is. That's what I was saying. It's riddled in narcissism. And that's why I can't really get behind it. Like, I want to give myself to somebody in that whole entirety. Like, I want that person to be my person. I want to be that person's person.
Right.
And like, this whole polyamorous bullshit is just shallow relationships. That's all it is. It's just
drive by nights for sure.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you mean to tell me that the person you love and cherish, you want to sacrifice the time that you could be spending with them to hang out and build something with somebody else? Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, the time that I have is limited. Like, I worked and I'm trying to provide a future for my family. And during the time that I have to spend with my said family, I don't want to be entertaining another girlfriend. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Like, that's just, it's selfish. It's very selfish.
I mean, in this relationship, did she bring on any other women and try to entice you with another woman's presence to kind of expand on this whole polyamory situation?
Well, she was always very flirty. And because of that, then I was just kind of flirty. So, okay. I mean, there was times where, like, we'd be at a party and this girl would be flirting with me. And then, like, I'll tell you, like, hey, look, like, or me and my ex would be talking about it.
Right.
And we'll be talking about it, and then, you know, I would just, you know the girl enough to be like, hey, look, so he said that, you know, this and this and whatever. I'm not trying to name names, to be honest. I keep dropping names, but I'm sorry.
There's a whole bunch of kids in the world. We don't know which one it is.
Yeah. But, you know, like, we're pretty long story short, like, yeah, it would be like, oh, so-and-so is interested, and then I'll report back to my ex, and she'd be like, okay, you know, at the next party, if so, you know, such and such happens, then we'll, you know, do that. And it would. So, but that's just basically, that's just kind of like it. I wasn't trying to put like that much effort into it. You know,
okay.
It was more like if I knew somebody was interested in doing it, I would just be like, I would mention it to my ex, and if she was like okay with it, then I would just mention it to the other people and whatever, or the other person or whatever.
Right. It'd be like a complete done deal then.
Yeah. So it was usually like we talked about it first, and then like it was okay, cool, okay, boom. Mm-hmm. But then it just became very much like, I'm just going to do whatever I want.
Let's see, but yeah, that kind of strays away from the whole, you know, the bedstone, what she was trying to do in the first place, really, if you think about it.
Yeah.
So what has this done to you? Like, now from an emotional standpoint, intellectual standpoint, like mind-wise, even physicality, has this taken a toll on you in any way? What has it done to you?
Oh, absolutely. For a very long time, I was very mad. I'm still mad. I'm still very angry. Very, very mad, but not even like at the fact of like what happened and what I put up with and like basically what you put me through.
Right.
A lot of the things that I'm mad at is the fact that like I gave you 7 years of my life and like we're not even on speaking terms.
Yeah.
And it's like I gave you 7 years of my life and I've done a lot for you. I sacrificed a lot for you and your family. And you don't even have the common decency to like talk and like come, like we don't need to like have a friendship, but like to have like a positive closure between the two of us.
Like, yeah.
So that's what's like really pissed me off about the majority of the whole thing. And the other thing that kind of like, it makes me realize like in order not to hate her, cause like that's the biggest thing is like, I don't want to hate something or hate somebody. Cause in my life, I found that when you hate something, it's derived from love. Like you can't invest in something because like hatred, it takes investment. You can't invest in something that you don't love, you know, because it takes time, takes energy, takes effort.
It takes your existential energy, your inner core energy, like your whole everything to hate, because you're right. And love is a very fangled thing, man. It does so much. And I mean, just hearing you, I could kind of hear the pain in your voice from what's happened or occurred. And I can tell that you're still dealing with it in a way, because this is fresh, right?
Yeah, it's pretty fresh. It happened earlier this year. Again, 7 years, it's just like we were best friends and like now we can't even have positive closure. That's what really drives me crazy. And I don't want to hate her. So in order to stop hating her, I'd like really truly started work on just not loving her. So now like face to face, if I saw her, it's just I feel indifferent towards her.
Okay. Like
you wasted my life and whatever you were like mad at, like I don't know. I don't really know where I'll go with that, but no, it's just it. Like I guess I have forgiven, like the things that she like. I'm at least willing to like forgive the things that she's put me through. But at the same time, I don't think that she is mature enough to even acknowledge that she quote unquote put me through anything.
I get you. Yeah, and she may not ever. She may not ever come to that realization. She may not ever believe it was her. You know what I mean? Because every story has 2, 3, 4, 5 sides. But she may never come to the conclusion that maybe she was the problem.
Yeah, I mean, like again, I'm trying to be very biased. I'm like, yeah, no, like you're only hearing my side of the story. But you know, like I wasn't an angel. Like I definitely messed things up. I could have like avoided certain roads or like you know didn't open certain doors.
You're talking about the very beginning when you
Yeah, just in general, like throughout the relationship, like I definitely could have done like just been a better. You know, partner, boyfriend, and done a better job at like setting those boundaries. But at the same time, when it came crashing all down and, you know, it was starting to affect my mental health in the relationship. And I was trying to like voice that when that no longer became something she gave a shit about. That's when I was like, okay, I should have walked away a long time ago.
Yeah. Cause you're saying, so when this really started to cut out, how many years ago was it when you first started seeing the signs of it? Was it a couple of years ago, 5 years ago?
Yeah, I'd say like 2 years ago.
Okay, about 2 years.
Yeah.
And
so we started down the path and I told her, we both came to the agreement, no one-on-one interactions, like no one-on-ones. It's just, you know, like we can bring some people into it. Like that's fine. Flirting at parties is fine. But I was like, I don't want to be left at a party and you go away with somebody and, you know, hook up with them. Because then at that point, you literally just ditch me at a party to go hook up with somebody.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, 1 week later, she did it.
And she told
that you. That exact thing. She ditched me at a party to go hook up with somebody.
Oh my God. And it was, and the person that she hooked up with was your friend that you were talking about? Or
yes.
That's a lot going on. Now, your friend situation, is your friend, does he have a family? I mean, is he married? Yeah,
married with a kid. So she left our relationship so she can be a third wheel in someone else's.
And then she wanted to drag you into that relationship as well? Or she just wanted to have
him? Yeah, no, she wanted to. And I was just no, I'm not a community type of.
That's a lot of.
What at what point, where do you draw the lines from like what we are as a relationship from what anyone else can be? You know, what's the point of being in a relationship if it's just like, I'm just going to be another person.
Yeah. And you were the original person in this relationship.
With her. Exactly.
That's insane. I mean, if you think about it, you did say this, you said that your ex-girlfriend, you were the second person she'd ever been with.
Yeah.
And how old was she when you guys met?
She was 21 and I was 23.
Okay, so 21, 23, she really didn't do much, had much play time or whatever, because, you know, everybody needs a little play time. And do you think that that contributed to the whole situation?
Probably. I mean, again, that was like the basis for why I was like, hey, look, if you want to like live your life and experiment with women, like I can understand that. Like, yeah, it might upset me at first, but like I can at least wrap my head around and conceptualize why that would be something you would be doing versus like a guy. And then again, like I feel like she took that and like abused it, like women and men are the same thing. I look at it like those relationships are the same way. It's like, I understand that, but I clearly told you that I don't look at it that way. And mm-hmm. if I'm the one setting the boundary, it's my boundary that should be respected.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. I understand that. But now when you're doing this, are you realizing, now you told me that you said that you put her into the OnlyFans lifestyle. Is it
true? I didn't put her in the OnlyFans lifestyle. She wanted to do OnlyFans before I met her.
Oh, she did. Okay. But she convinced you to go along with it?
Yes. So she was like, this is what I'm doing. More or less, like I found out after she made her OnlyFans. So I was like, hey, look, this is like a reoccurring theme. I found out, oh, yeah, I have an OnlyFans and you kind of had to be okay with it. Start a fight. Okay, you know, calm down. You know, I'm okay with it. Like, I guess, like, I love you. You're more important, Nick, than what, like, all that bullshit, being with you is more important.
Right.
But, like, right. It was, like, no nudity at first. And then, like, she was, like, okay. And then, boom, like, I remember I came in from work and I, like, walked into the bathroom. She's filming herself naked in the shower. And it's, like, okay. She's, like, yeah, well, you know, I just figured, like, it's time that I come out like that on my channel or whatever. And it's, like, again, I had to find out about it first. Like, it's not like you talk to me, like, hey, this is what's going on. And I get to voice my opinion. And, like, to be honest, like, the way she acted, like, my opinion wouldn't even matter.
Like, no, she didn't care.
No, she didn't care. And no. She, like, looking back, she also would talk down on me, like, all the damn time. So I feel like I was always trying to, like, find, like, ways to, like, appease her and make her happy. Because, like, she was always, like, talking down to me and, like, just borderline emotionally abusive.
Okay. Well, see, then that's the thing. That's a narcissistic trait. What would she say to you when she talked down to you?
Like, pretty much the way it was, like, I'll be completely honest. I have ADHD, so it's really hard for me to keep track of certain things. Yeah. So there came a time in our relationship where I was like, look, like, if you pay all the bills, I'll just send you all of my money. Like, I'll just get paid and send it to you. Because, like, at that point, like, you know what I mean? It just made sense. Like, you keep up with the bills better. It give you more resources because, like, she was also booking, like, all of our trips and things like that. So, you mm-hmm. know, just send her all the money. And occasionally, like, you know, there'd be times where, like, because I was doing, like, landscaping and hardscaping at one point where bad weather. So I wasn't working. So the paychecks were, like, kind of low. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, it was just the way she would, like, act. Like, when things are good, like, oh, we're a team. And then when things are bad, then it's always like she's pointing out to me in ways that, like, she was like carrying me. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? I mean, it's like she had OnlyFans. She had other jobs that, you know, lined up. So she had, like, just, like, more sources of income coming in. And I was just, like, busting my ass.
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. like, and then she would always just, like, talk, like, poorly to me and down at me. Mm-hmm. And, like, looking back, it was just, like, completely unacceptable. After, like,
yeah, and not to mention it's an abusive relationship. I mean, that's
I was the guy that, you know, we were taking care of her grandparents, and, like, her grandfather would, like, fall out of his bed, and I had to run up, like, two flights of stairs to, like, pick this old man up who's, like, you know, not able to, like, really stand, and he might have had an accident, and here I am doing it in the middle of the night, and I had to be up at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and, like, no complaints. Never once asked for a thank you, like, never needed it.
Yeah.
And, like, yet she had the audacity to, like talk down to me and like make me feel, she said that I was a controlling boyfriend because I had issues with her, this whole polyamorous thing.
Right. Well, yeah, I would imagine you'd be a little controlling if your wife girlfriend's out there doing whatever the hell she wants to do and she thinks it's okay. Yeah.
But, like,
I mean, that's it. I mean,
is that controlling, or is that just setting a boundary? You know what I mean?
Like, I mean, it's like, don't walk outside naked because people might see you. I mean, or something like that. You that's a part of a relationship. Relationships are supposed to be a team, not a one fit. You know what I'm saying? So, I just feel
towards the end, she was like trying to, like, say our relationship was, like, complete trash, like, the entire time. Like, she looked so bad, like, looked downly on it. I'm just like, we had great communication skills before we went to Texas and, like, this whole bullshit started. Right. You know, like, we were the couple that we were arguing. We were going to sit there and talk it out before we went to bed. Okay. So we didn't go to bed angry.
Right.
You know, like, again, like, we had each other's backs. You know, she helped me through a lot. I've helped her through a lot.
Right.
So to sit here and say all those like nasty, disgusting things about me is like, I get it. Like, you're probably just trying to cope with your own bullshit and, you know, your own emotions, but right. I don't deserve to be looked at in such a bad light. So,
yeah, man, that's understandable. I mean, and the mental abuse, man, I think that guys don't understand the mental abuse that goes on when, I mean, not even just guys in a relationship in general, that there's a lot of mental abuse that it bears these seeds of discontent and hatred for somebody. So with that being said, I mean, and I think that you can get that and it recalcimates itself over and over and over again. I mean, do you feel that way? Do you feel like there's like a resentment?
Yeah, definitely at first, like, you know, because, you know, again, sacrificed so much and then now it's all for nothing. But you have to let that go. Like, you can't be carrying that around.
No, you really can't.
No.
Because like, it'll eat you up, man.
Yeah. Like, I'm a huge fan of the saying, yesterday's history, tomorrow's a mystery, and today is a gift. That's why it's called a present. The present, rather.
That's true. Yeah. I mean, that's just, I mean, but if you think about it and you break it down to its most simplest structure, there's just so much abuse in this tale that you've kind of told us, Gigi. And I, for one, hope that you're taking the best lessons out of it and you're picking them apart and learning so that the next time you get into a relationship, you know what you don't want and what you don't need. And you can see the red flags.
No, yeah. So everything is a learning experience at the end of the day. So with this, definitely, I know I understand now I need to set my boundaries. I understand things that I shouldn't, like, I have more self-value. So I know that, like, things I should and shouldn't take, in terms of like pushing against my boundaries, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I'm open-minded, but at the same time, it's like, you don't want to be gaslit and to be open-minded. Like how she would tell me, I don't have a problem with being poly. I just have insecurities. But it's like, okay.
Now, have you explored this? Do you believe that you have insecurities?
Everybody has insecurities, but that's not the reason why I have a problem with being poly. I don't like being poly. I don't understand the benefits of it. I can sit here and go on and tell blue in the face about all the negative aspects of being polyamorous versus monogamy. And I'll tell you the positives of monogamy outweigh the positives of polyamory. And then on the flip side, the negatives of polyamory outweigh the negatives of monogamy. So it's like, I completely want to stay away from that. And I sat here and I've listened to a lot of people who've gone through things, similar things in podcasts. I've listened to psychologists analyze like the whole breakdown of it. Like, I understand it. I understand it quite well. And I don't want anything a part of it. It's it's a waste. It's a waste.
It's a waste of time. It's just, that's just playtime. And I mean, nowadays,
you avoid responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just running away from it, really. I mean, if you think about it. But Gigi, tell our audience, especially the guys out there listening, because we have a vast, and we want to, guys, we also want to thank you for your support, tuning in every week and or when we drop new episodes. So we really appreciate that. But Gigi, tell our audience some of the warning signs and red flags to look out for when they are exploring partnering up with somebody that they don't know, especially in the hookup culture that we all live in.
Geez, in this culture, it's hard because like there's this common saying that's been going around now is like everyone's screwing somebody else, and like at this point, it's almost true. It's like you gotta protect yourself, like have open communication. Like I believe that you shouldn't treat someone that like you. I'm trying to think of the best way of putting this. You shouldn't treat somebody that you trust as if you don't trust them. Right. So like until they give you a reason not to trust them, like you should trust them. And if you trust somebody, typically they respond in a trusting manner. If you are distrustful with somebody, then they usually meet that with being dishonest. So just, you know, open communication. You know, if you're the one that's screwing around too, don't be doing that. And then don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah, that's part of it too.
Yeah, that's part of, hold yourself accountable. Like a lot of people like make their beds and then when they lay in it, they don't like it. Like, I can't tell you how many of my friends I find talking to other girls and, oh man, I found my girl talking to this guy. And it's like, well, she's talking to one dude and you're talking to three chicks. So who's the real asshole in this situation? Let's be real here. And she's probably doing that because she has caught wind of it to some degree, or you're not paying attention to her, you're paying attention to these bitches, and now she's searching for attention somewhere else. So, like, stay away from it just entirely. Like, understand what you're actually doing in that relationship. Like, if you're trying to build something, build something. If you're trying to have fun, then both people just need to understand that we're just here to have fun, and it's not that deep. Don't make something that's not that deep deeper than what it is.
And don't dig.
And if you're both are willing to take it into a serious manner, then be serious about it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean that's such a footnote of good humble advice, because, and guys, this is from somebody who's dealt with this. So if this is something that you're getting into and you don't really know, there are warning signs and red flags. Even if you're in love, take down the peripherals, get a better set of glasses on the situation. Sometimes even get a partner that's a friend and be like, do you see the same thing I'm seeing, or am I delusional? You know, sometimes you need to take on a partner and ask questions, because sometimes love can blind you and it can make you believe things that really are not true. It's like a hallucination because you get so caught up into it. But guys, this has been Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. I've been talking with Gigi, our co-host, and this is Gigi's story, okay? Gigi, any closing remarks for our audience before we head out?
Yeah, just remember to love yourself, guys, and don't forget that. You know, I've found in order for you to truly love somebody, you have to first love yourself. Yes. But when you do find someone that you do love, you can also lose that love for yourself and in that person. Be careful of that, because then that's when you start to find yourself being taken advantage of and unable to set the boundaries and communicate the things you need to communicate, because you're not putting yourself and your needs forward. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's absolutely true, guys. And it's a great thing that I think the guys are starting to figure it out. They're starting to come together, talk about it. I see TikToks on this all the time, especially when I'm on our TikTok, which is Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast on TikTok. And I see this stuff on these little memes and themes about how some women are just taking advantage of guys, you know, doing the date and dash thing, taking them. I saw one where a lady took a guy out on a dinner. She ordered 6 different meals. And he's like, wait, you're going to eat all that food? And she's like, no, I'm going to take some of it home. What kind of shit is that? I was like, come on, man. That's a warning sign, guys. That's a red flag.
100%. But anyway.
Okay, it really is. I've been Mr. Villain for Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. We've been going speaking with Gigi, our co-host, and this was Gigi's story. Thanks again, guys, and you can follow us on all of our handles. We're on TikTok, we're on X, formerly Twitter, Facebook. Just always type in the Let Me Take You Higher podcast.
Yeah,
that's crazy, man. Anyway, all right, guys, thank you so much, and we're out.
Transforming sorrow into strength each day. With every tear we start anew. Blessings of hope that pulls us through. So let the past just fade away. Embrace the dawn of a brand new day. In the journey we learn to see that love can leave but sets us free. It's not the end. It's a chapter closed, a chance to mend. With Gianluigi by our side, let me take you higher. Let love be our guide.
And that's a wrap on this episode of Let Me Take You Higher, the podcast. Big thanks to our special guests and a huge shout out to our incredible sponsors. You guys are literally the wind beneath our podcast wings. Remember, this show was dreamed up and brought to life by yours truly, Mr. Villain. And it's all made possible by BC Entertainment LLC, a proud subsidiary of Big Cheddar Music LLC. All rights are reserved by BC Entertainment So don't even think about touching that dial without permission. Until next time, keep your minds elevated and your vibes higher. This is Mr. Villain signing off. Stay tuned, stay sharp, and stay forever gifted and lifted.